What is your part in the body of Christ? And we really to think about that. And some people don't know. They don't have a clue. Okay? And I can't tell you what your part is in the body of Christ. You have to have a relationship with Christ, and he'll tell you what he wants you to do. He'll show you what your part is in the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Okay? And so I'm going to go to Romans 12, 3 through 5. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. I mean, think about that. We're all members of a body, but we're all also members of one another. We are connected. Okay? And when you look at the body, you may think there's parts of your body that really don't mean much till you lose it. And then when it's been removed, then it means a little bit more than what you really thought it really meant. So every part is connected. The body is totally connected. Okay? So the reality is every member is an important part of the body. Excuse me. My voice seems a little rough. Sorry. We can get so involved in the things of this life that we begin to drift away from God and not even realize it. Okay, so we get so, with everything going on, we get so involved and we begin to just move away. And we don't realize how far away we've gotten, even though we're sitting right here in the church. And by doing that, we're disconnected from the body. We don't realize where we're even standing at. And then when God wants to use us, we're so disconnected that we cannot be used because we're not sensitive to God, because we're not effective in the body. Does that make any sense? I hope so to you. Because the reality is we need to become a part. We need to become effective. We need to be a tool that God can use at all times whenever God chooses to use us. Now I want to go to this verse. It's in Revelation chapter 2. It's verse 2 through 5. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. So he's letting them know they're still doing what they're supposed to be doing. Okay? But he said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. Okay, so this is not a time right now to play games with God. And we may not even realize we're playing games with God. We just think we're living life, and life's getting to be so busy that we let so many different things become so involved in our lives that we have lost place of where God's at. Does that make sense? And so the reality is we've got to know what our part is in the body and where we stand in the body. The only reason we don't feel God is because we have stopped communicating with Him on a regular basis. Okay, we've got to have a communication on a daily basis with God, one-on-one, each and every one, daily. I mean, if we think about it, the Bible says, I'll use Daniel for example. Daniel prayed before God three times a day. I can't tell you I do that, but he did three times a day. Think about that. That's a lot of communication. Job prayed, and he had a communication with God that he talked to God, and God talked to him. That much of a relationship. That's why God could tell Satan, you can tempt him, but you can't kill him. Because God knew Job. He had a relationship with Job. God has not and will not leave us. Amen? He ain't leaving. We're leaving him. We're the one that walks away. We're the ones that are drifting. And we may not even realize we're drifting, but we are. Could it be we have walked away from him and did not realize it? Now we are separated. God is calling us back into a right relationship with him. Yes. Amen. And that only happens through daily prayer, daily reading and studying your Bible. And yes, we even need to fast on a regular basis. And some people don't. And I can be honest, I can't say I fast on a regular basis like I ought to. But I'm going to tell you a little story about a guy that I heard. He had a daughter that got away from God. Decided she didn't want nothing to do with God whatsoever. She was done with him. This apostolic man, he was a preacher. And God challenged him. And I'm not saying God's going to do this to you, and I hope he don't do it to me. But God challenged this man to go on a 40-day fast. Only water. 40 days for his daughter. He wasn't exactly excited about it, but he said, okay, Lord, I will. And he fasted 40 days for his daughter. She is in the church. She's saved. She's working for God. God honored his fast. God honored his prayer and gave him back his daughter. So, yes, fasting and prayer. Jesus said, these kind only come out by fasting and prayer. I realize one thing I want the most. I realize the one thing that I want the most, seems to be the one thing I avoid the most. Does anybody feel that way? That it seemed like the one thing that you want the most for me is my relationship with God. And it seems that sometimes that seems like the thing that I avoid the most. You know what I mean? And there's a time when we just got to stop. We got to say, no, you know what? I got to put this stuff on the back burner. I have to put it back behind me because if I don't have that time for God, then I'm the loser. Okay, I want everybody to do me a favor. I'm going to do a little project right now, and I would like for everybody to participate in this. I'm going to ask everybody to close their eyes, if you would. Now imagine this was the last time you're ever going to close your eyes. You just died. Now the question I'm going to ask you, and don't raise your hands, don't speak out loud, but where did you go? What is your destination now? You're never going to open your eyes again. You're dead. What is your destination? That's a question we need to ask ourselves. God challenged me on this one. And it hit me in the face. It hit me hard. Because I thought I was okay. But I really wasn't. I hope that hits home with some. I'm not saying you're all bad. You're the ones that got to make that decision. Because at the end, when you close your eyes for the last time, there's no do-overs. There's no getting it right. It's over. It better have been right by that time. So the way we get back to our first love is to go back to where we left it. Yes. Amen. We have to go back to where we left it. and then repent and repeat the steps we did back then to fall in love again with Jesus. Because see, where you left it is where it's at. All you have to go do is go back to where you left it. God is not leaving you out there. He's offering you a way back. But the reality is we have to go back to where we left it. It's just like in a relationship with your wife and your husband. If you want your relationship to be strong again, you want the love to be there again, go back to doing what you did again. Okay? In reality, think about this, folks, and Terry's got to think of it too. When I look at my wife and I look, in reality, do I look at her the way I did when I first saw her? Am I doing the things that I did when I first met her? Am I dating her like I did back when I first met her? Am I excited when I see her now? Okay, are we still doing the things we did back then to keep that going? Or did once we get married, we just said, well, we're married, and just put those things aside? It doesn't hurt to date your wife again. It doesn't date to hurt your husband, or it doesn't hurt to date your husband again to rekindle that relationship. Amen. I know that's a little out there, pretty deep, but the reality is we need to date Jesus again. Can we go to 1 Corinthians 11 and 3? But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and that the head of every woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Amen. And I have a reason for going that way. You'll see in a minute. Then I'll go to 11 and 11. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Amen. So the reality, friend, is if we want to get back to where we need to be with God, we need to have a We need to change from being on a horizontal plane to being on a vertical plane. Amen. We got to get a relationship with God and man. Okay? And the reality is that if we want our families to be right with God and we want to be right with God, then we need to have prayer, family prayer, every day in our home. I'm not saying you don't, but I'm saying that's what we need. Because see, the one thing Satan wants to do is he wants to destroy a church. And so how does he destroy a church? He destroys a family. And how does a family get destroyed? Because they don't pray together. They may have a relationship with God, but they don't have a relationship with each other. And one thing that brings that relationship back together is a relationship with each other and God in the middle. So if we could come back together, I'm talking even 2 minutes. If you take time out, 2 minutes, and hold the hands with everybody in your family that's in your home and pray. Spend time together and praying together for each other in the home and bring that relationship back around. And if you can do that, you can bring God back around into that home, and that relationship becomes vertical with you and God. Amen. The problem is we get so busy, we don't have time to pray with each other. Yes, I'm starting to do that. I can't say I've always been great, but I'm starting to. That we have a small, it may not be a lot, but time of prayer each day before we leave. Because we need God in our home. We need to be bound together in our home. That we can bring our God into our family, that we may reach other souls for God. But if we are divided in our family, then how can we reach souls outside of our family? And if we're divided in our family, how can we come to church and be bonded in a body of Christ when we're so divided in our own homes? And Satan knows that. That's why he's doing it. He wants to destroy the families. And if that family cannot pray together, it generally doesn't stay together. So if you don't want that family to be divided, you need to bring that family back together. And God gave me this, so if it hurts, have talked to him. I'm just giving you what he shared with me. And we need to bring that back together. God is first, man is second, then the wife and the family. Okay, we can't get that out of sorts. And I'm not trying to say that the man has the right to beat his wife up and he's the head and I don't care what's going on. Because remember, men, the woman is the neck that turns the head. So you be careful, because you don't want to get in trouble with your wives. But the reality is if we've got God in the middle and God is guiding us, we're going to make right decisions. Amen. For our family. And our wife and our children are going to be involved in that decision, because if there's that important, even your children, if they're in the home, they need to be a part of those decisions that is going to affect their lives. And I don't care if your children are little, if you're going to have that prayer time together, I don't have to be a long time, but have them involved in that family. But God is always first, and man is second, the husband. Because you got to remember, he is the head of the house. God's going to ask him, what did you do with what I gave you? Because he is the priest of his house. Amen? Okay? So we need to take time daily to have family prayer. And you need to take time to have personal prayer, but family prayer. Amen? Like I said, our families need to become vertical, totally vertical with God. And I need that relationship with God. I want to be closer to God. I want to be the man God wants me to be. And God knows that. God knows our desires of our hearts. He knows what you want. But the problem is when you become so separated from God and you don't even realize it, that there's no relationship because you're not communicating with him. So I'd ask you a question. If you talk to your wife as much as you talk to God, how much relationship does you and your wife have? Think about that. Some people don't do a whole lot of talking to God. And if they didn't talk to their wives, the wives wouldn't be around very long, because there's no communication. And maybe that sometimes, I know in some families, that is a problem, because they don't communicate. So the reality is, we need to have a communication with God, vertical communication with God, with the family, and we need to have a communication with each other. And if the wife has an issue, that she needs to come to her husband. If the husband has an issue, he needs to go to the wife. Say, hey, can we pray about this? And come together. Don't think we can just do it on our own as me and God. There is unity. And where two or three are gathered together, there God is in the midst. That includes man and wife. If there's two or three gathered together praying, man, you can send a lot of devils flying. Trust me. You can't. The Bible says it. One will put 1,000 to flight. Two will put what? 10,000 to flight. What do you think three is going to do? I mean, but the problem is Satan knows if we don't have the communication with God and we don't have a communication with each other, we can't put nobody to flight. You see where I'm coming from? So the reality is, if we want our body to be healthy, if we want our, and I listen to a doctor talk about this too, if we want our bodies to be healthy in reality, we have to feed it the proper things. I don't. I'm guilty. I don't eat the proper things. But if I want my body to be healthy, I have to eat the proper things. They say that when you go to a restaurant, or if you sit down to eat, and you can eat until you're stuffed. And a couple hours later, and you may be able to test this, you are hungry. And you just ate, and you were stuffed. And now, 2-3 hours later, you are starving for food. They say it's because our body's not getting the proper things that it needs to function. So it's wanting more food. But what your body's telling you is excuse me, there are certain foods that it wants. We just don't comprehend what it's wanting, and so we don't give it to it, and we just give it the junk food that we want to like. So the reality is, if we give the body the proper foods, it will take care of itself. And you won't eat as much as you normally would. This doctor said that he started eating the proper foods. I listened to a doctor talking. He said he started eating the proper foods or the things that he needed. He used to eat a lot of food. And so then once he started eating all this proper food stuff, he went to a restaurant with his daughter. And he said, sit down and eat. And when they got done, he asked for a doggy bag to take his food home. More than half of what he ordered, he put in a doggy bag to take home because he was stuffed. And his daughter asked him, are you okay, Dad? And he said, yeah, I'm good. And he goes, but I never really thought about it until then, that I'm not hungry, because he was giving his body the proper things that it needed. So the reality is, if we give our spiritual body the proper things it needs, and we give our church body the proper things that it needs, and that's that relationship with God and the proper food with God and getting into our word, that our body as a whole will become healthy. And then guess what healthy bodies can do? They can reproduce. And they can bring in new babies. Amen. But first, we got to start with our bodies. Our body has to become healthy. And our body has to become in alignment with God. And it starts in our homes. Amen. And thank you for listening.
Well, you said enough. And it was delicious. And it was delicious. Wow. How am I going to put it in practice? Let's see. One there and one right there. Proper relationship in the home is so important. Amen. You oftentimes don't understand that when you're younger. But as you get older and so forth in life, realize that proper relationship, husband and wife, is very, very important. Amen. It makes it healthy. But also learn this. I know what I've gone through recently. And someone had mentioned that today to me. I've heard it more than once since I've gone through this surgery and so forth, that the food doesn't taste the same. And it's amazing. Things that I used to like and taste, I don't like it. It doesn't have a good taste to me anymore. Steak is bad. The devil's a liar, but the steak tastes bad. Chicken is awful. No, okay. Not that bad, but your taste changed. Amen. So, I mean, we can turn it around and do that spiritually as well. Amen, Brother Terry. Amen. Things of this world that we used to love, now we hate. Amen. Doesn't have the same taste, same appetite for that. Thank God for that. But I agree with Brother Terry. The reason why it does change is because you have a closer relationship with God. The closer the relationship, the more the world gets squeezed out. More of the taste of this world gets bland and doesn't have it anymore. Amen. So many good things, so many good scriptures that he shared with us. Has anybody ever been comforted? Yes. I like what I've read many, many times at King David. Was the fact he encouraged himself in the Lord. And there's times in your life, and you walk with God, as you personally have to encourage yourself in the Lord. And what I found in Corinthians here says, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. In other words, our comfort, strength comes from God. We turn around and we comfort others with that. Could be your wife, a husband, your children, your brother, your sister in the Lord. Amen. And by the same comfort that was given to us, we turn around and comfort others as well. Amen. And this world that we live in right now, we do need to comfort one another. A lot of encouragement. A lot of encouragement. But it's important to us that we understand is that we find ourselves in the body of Christ. That's one of the reasons why that through 2019, as long as the Lord tarries, is that God instilled in my spirit at home as I was sitting one evening, is the fact is that the church is the salt of the world. And in the world that we live in, whether it's at work, whether it's living in our neighborhood, living in whatever, its fact is that you make the difference in everybody's life that you touch. Amen? We've had neighbors live close to us, and since I had surgery, come over and see what they could do to help, whatever. Amen. That's great. But I got to reciprocate. Hurry up and get sick so I come over and see you. Or something like that. Or just say, hi, Bob, how you doing? He's one of the neighbors named Bob, you know. I think his wife named Carolyn. But it's be able to communicate, but not act like people don't exist. They do exist. They do have a soul. Going to live somewhere in eternity. Amen? Let's stand together. Good Bible study, Brother Terry. Good Bible study. Good rich meat.